This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Good morning. It is day three of the Magic Texas Convention, and it has continued to be just an amazing event. And I know many of you have been following this over the last few days with bated breath and waiting to hear what Mark D'Souza has to say as we start to deconstruct some of the acts and the events that have happened. And so it's a good way to start off day three by kind of having a recap of what we had yesterday afternoon since we had last talked and in the last evening show, et cetera, right now. So I got with me again, Mark D'Souza. Hey, everybody.
Good morning, Scotty. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, man. We had a great show last night, but before we get to that, we left off after we were talking about the competition, the close-up competition.
Right, close-up competition.
Today we're going to have a stage competition a little bit later, so we're going to have to talk about that, I guess, tomorrow or sometime.
Exactly. But the rest of the day yesterday, there were two lectures, the first actual lectures, because everything else were kind of like talks, right. But these were the big lectures in the big room. First one was Artem Shukin, fabulous lecture. I had seen it last year. I had him at MAS. What a great lecture. Absolutely phenomenal. He performs a few things, you know, in his inimitable style and talks about those. But then he talks about the process of creating an act and what goes into creating an act. And he had a fantastic PowerPoint presentation with some great video, along with that. But what a great lecture. And he had a couple of things that he sells, his card shooter and his gravity ball.
Oh, that's right. Right.
And this new reel, which he had shown me, and I was just clamoring for one of those. Oh my gosh. Just fabulous.
It's an electric reel, or
it's an electric reel, and his work with it is very, very different. And it's it will prove to be a great adjunct for people who do that kind of stuff. So that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. He was followed by Adrian Vega, who did his great show the night before. And some of the material in the show was in the lecture, and he taught that great card in the bottle, signed card the bottle, along with his opener, which is with the silk in the fingers and MJ's in the background having a good time.
Oh, there's Alex Ramone. Hey, man.
Alex Ramone and MJ.
Yeah, I can hear your dog. I didn't know you were here.
Having a good time getting MJ ready. Anyway, so great material. He had the card in the bottle. He had the opening with the silk over the fingers and fabulous card revelation. Lots of other stuff. Great material. And then we had the big show, which was at, University of Texas at Arlington, beautiful, beautiful auditorium.
White party.
Exactly. The red and white party, because they had red and white wine. One of the members down here has a winery and another one is a distributor, and they were serving for free.
Right.
Free. Lots of wine. I particularly like the Zinfandel, and
the Cabernet.
Yeah, I'm not a big Cabernet. I know life is a Cabernet, but, you know, I'm not a big Cabernet guy. But I did like the Zin and the white.
White was good.
The white was
very refreshing.
Exactly. Beautiful summer wine.
Yeah.
It was an off dry, very nice. And they had a Prosecco too. So,
people I heard as far as saying something negative about the evening was the fact that they did have some hot dogs and some box lunches that were there, and not everybody knew about that. But once they did, it's like they swarmed it and bought the things.
They ran out of food. I was starving. I hadn't eaten since breakfast. And thank God once they opened the house, they did have a concession booth, so you could get a hot dog and some popcorn.
And then we were supposed to be having like some strolling magic or something in this little tight area. Well, first of all, we had to go through and we had to have plastic bags. You couldn't carry like a bag or your purse or whatever.
College campus. High security.
Yeah. Very high security, in which we had to go through a metal detector and all the rest of that, and then they would wand you, et cetera. And so that was a long line while we were waiting out in the heat, humidity here of Texas.
Exactly. And, you know, it was bad going in. I mean, it was warm. It was sticky. But coming out, it rained apparently during the
and
show.
That cooled things down.
Absolutely.
That's true.
We still had to wait for those buses.
We did. I just want to say, just on the negative side, because I had heard some people who had complained, said, I want to make sure that you, Ziggy said this to me, so I want to make sure that you say it's because if felt like, oh my gosh, you know, we're so close over here. This is really going to be a spreader and a petri dish here for COVID. And it's like, well, yes or no. I mean, all conventions, we get together and we're close in proximity. And so
Yeah, I think the bigger issue, I mean, you expect that with the buses, you know, you expect there to be lag in those buses, but they had us crammed into that lobby for over an hour with nothing going on. Now, I heard somebody said, oh, there was somebody doing close up over there. It was not well organized.
No.
I think they could have done a better job with that. But once they opened the house,
beautiful theater, wasn't it?
Absolutely beautiful, and seating everybody. And it was interesting, and I'll say I heard complaints about this too, that we did get tickets, but then they said, well, ignore the numbers on the tickets. It's all open seating, all general admission seating. So I'm okay with that, but
me too. I fly Southwest.
Yeah.
But well, having said that, we had B.J. Mallon, who was the MC, who was the only American on the whole ticket all night.
Exactly. And the only trick he did was his yoga exercise, you know, that typical crossing the hands, turning the hands over thing. Yeah. But other than that, it was all poetry, all poems that he had written, and very humorous, very, very nice. And he kept the show moving. He just kept that show moving. And it was the International Gala Show. And we had four Japanese acts, all of whom performed at the Abbott's Get Together last year. And they liked them so much they said, let's just book these guys for Magic Texas, which is a great deal. But the opening act was a French act, a guy named Adrian Killen. I believe it's pronounced Q-U-I-L-L-E-N. I had not seen this act. It's a bar theme act.
You didn't go to Blackpool this year, though, did you?
I did not.
That's where I saw it.
Yeah. Yeah. Super high energy act. Oh my gosh.
You great
high
opening.
Energy. Perfect. 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 But I will say, I don't know where this guy works, but wherever he works, they've got to have two shop vacs. There is so much glitter, and this glitter was hanging in the air for the next three acts.
It was like a unicorn exploded or something.
Oh my God. Unbelievable, beautiful, colorful, but holy cow, you know, what a freaking mess.
I'm anxious. He's staying on the same floor where I am, and I ran into him last night after midnight, and I said, hey, I want to chat with you.
Yeah.
As he introduced himself to me, and he said, did you enjoy the show? And I didn't recognize him, you know, from the distance I was with the hat and the outfit he had on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was telling him, yeah. And I said, especially the guy who opened the juggler. So that was me. So it was great.
You know, you can't quite call him a juggler, but he had a lot of that flair bartending stuff.
If you've seen Tom Cruise in Cocktail, it's that kind of a thing.
Well, that's what they call it, flair. Flair bartending.
Was that what it called?
Yeah, it's called flair.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and there was a whole art form, and it was a big thing for a long time. But he's one of the few guys that actually has adapted magic to that, and there was a lot of magic.
Oh, there was. Yeah,
fabulous stuff. Fabulous stuff, and great theme.
Using those shakers like his cups and balls.
Yeah, with lemons. Holy cow! You know, I mean, it was just surprise after surprise.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. He was followed by Shoma from Japan, not Shoma from Budapest, but Shoma, S-Y-O-U-M-A.
Yeah.
Japanese performer who's a dealer who markets stuff, but this was, you know, a nice silk-themed act with productions of bird cages. And then he had this great illusion at the end. Oh, and he does his Rubik's Cube stuff. And he's got some great Rubik's Cube stuff, but then he had the curtains open. There's a giant Rubik's Cube, which he takes apart and shows it, puts it back together, magically solves this giant Rubik's Cube, and then a girl comes out. It was a great illusion, idea.
I've not seen it before. Very creative.
Yeah, yeah. I'm guessing somebody's going to buy that off him so he doesn't have to take it back to Japan.
I bet you're right.
If I wasn't flying, it would be no. He was followed by Yu Kamihara, who I'd seen before. This is the Red Cup solo act. Which is great for a college campus, but what a clever young man. And it's a combination of ball manipulation and tricks with solo cups, red solo cups, and very original. Again, you know, great energy to this act, but his finish, this production of just huge amounts of cups in his arms. It's just
every time he turned around, he have another arm full of a cup.
Yeah, and we're talking like two dozen cups. Oh. Yeah, it's just really cool act. Really cool act. Followed by Shimpei Katsuragawa, or just Shimpei,
who's
Shimpei is one of our buddies from Fectors. Shimpei does some of the most beautiful card magic ever.
Classic style with classic music. It was very beautiful.
Exactly. I mean, he is a classical pianist. I mean, that was his background. Okay. Yeah. He actually has produced a book called La Campanella, which is the last piece that he does, in his act. And, the material in it is the book is beautifully produced and the material is exquisite. Mm. But boy, there's some tough stuff there.
Yeah.
But what a wonderful personality. And he just, the audience ate him up. And that was the only The only single act standing ovation of the show, I think.
That was, you know, as you mentioned, Chimpe, it was.
Yeah. He was followed by a young man named Wessie, who I hadn't seen before. This is an act that certainly struck a chord for me, if you'll excuse the expression, because it was a rock-themed act. It was a...
guitar.
Yeah.
Kind of Tina Leonard beginning, kind of a...
Yeah. He was a janitor, and you know, he sees a poster for a rock show, and he starts treating his broom like a guitar, and
he starts producing
giant guitar picks like you produce cards and costume change. And it was just a fun act.
It was very fun.
Yeah. I had a great time watching that. And the show was closed by Greg Fruin and Alexandra. Man, you know, when you own your own big theater in Niagara Falls, you're going to get good. And he was good before he ever bought that theater. And Greg brought the big toys. He produced did a number of illusions. Alexandra did her version of the duct tape trick. Pardon me, that she did on the on Foolus, and she fooled Penn and Teller with it, and she fooled me with it.
Me too. Yeah, first time I saw that. Too.
Yeah. I mean, it's she does it beautifully, but she's a phenomenal assistant. And Greg opened with a new piece that hasn't been seen much, a light box thing that kind of combines lights through girl with a modern cabinet. Very interesting illusion. Did his version of Bo's staff, which is beautiful, and did the shrouded transposition. So it was a great finish to the show.
He must have had a big truck. I thought, you know, from bringing down from Niagara Falls all the way down here to Dallas, that's a pretty good drive with that stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, that's why you pay the big money for the big toys, you know.
It was a nice way to close the show because it was traditional closing with an illusion show.
Absolutely. And, you know, as Gay Blackstone spoke yesterday during her talk, you know, we need more illusionists. We don't have a lot of illusionists. Everybody wants to walk around with a deck of cards, you know, and it's, that's, I won't say a dying art, but boy, we don't have the number of illusionists we used to because, you know, the costs of number one, you know, fabricating and purchasing the illusions, but moreover, you know, places to do them. And, you know, it takes to do a big illusion show, you need a big theater. So.
And as we got back then last evening, we went straight in to see Lost in the Shuffle, which was the movie by Sean Farquhar and John
Right, yeah. Which I had seen already because I was one of the Kickstarter contributors. Yep. Yep. So I got to see it, and we're showing it next weekend at our MAS convention in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. So I wasn't rushing to do that because I had to get together with somebody privately who offered to teach me something I wanted to learn.
Right, the MAS convention is coming up. You need to say something about that.
Oh, sure. This is great. I fly home Tuesday morning. I get to go into my office on Wednesday. Thursday, I get to go and pack up to set up everything for the MAS convention, which is Magicians Alliance of Eastern States in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, just over the bridge from Philadelphia. And it is next Thursday night, Friday and Saturday.
And I recommend people to go. It's a fantastic convention, and it's a lot of fun. The time I went, you had me come in and do an MC work, and it was the same weekend as the TAOM, so I missed the TAOM for the first time in a long time that weekend to do that. But, you know, I work with Arthur Trace, and I haven't told you this, and I've always thought, man, if I get a chance to work with him again, I'm going to. And so I booked him for next year for the TAOM.
Oh, that's great.
And he's going to do his one-man show.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Arthur's terrific. I love his thinking. I love his style. But then
last night we had the Midnight Madness.
Yeah, which... you know, I knew Roger for years. Roger Klaus is the guy that started Midnight Madness, and Roger always told me about this event. So coming in, I knew, after Roger passed, it was taken over by a couple of different people, but for the last three TAOM conventions.
Fabian Moreno.
Fabian.
Yeah. Danny Fabian. Garcia did it for a couple of years. So.
Yeah, so Fabian's been running the show for a few years. So I talked to Fabian and I said, so what are you doing for it? He says, well, it's, you know, kind of not open mic, but it's guys that normally get seen. I said, well, listen, you know, I would like to do. He says, yeah, you're closing. And I went, no, you're closing. So, you know, it's performers that I get, you know, they're all local guys here. And I got to see some new faces, and boy, it was just a fun show. It was just a wonderful evening. And I guess, you know, we had it probably, it was a little over an hour, and everybody got up and did like, you know, 3-5 minutes. And there were some great performers on it. And
Well, that was the way that Roger had originally envisioned this, or produced it, I should say, in which he would kind of say, hey, Scott, I want you to do this trick. I've seen you, because we've been sessioning. These are the guys who've been sessioning with Roger, and he's seen you do such and such, or you're a friend of his, and he'll say, I want you to, you know, come and do that trick. It's not like, I don't want you to do a show, don't do a whole act. I want you to do a trick, a pet effect that you're good at.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was. And Fabian had, curated. He curated the show. So it was really a lot of fun.
And then this morning, after we had a short nap, we had the gospel services, I think at 7 o'clock, gospel magic. And then at 8 o'clock was the board meeting for the TAOM. General meeting, I should say, not a board meeting, but general meeting, followed by 8:30, in which we had the combination of the Royal Order of Willard, which are those who have 25 years or more of service, of attendance, at the convention, and then the life members of SAM. So it was a joint thing. We probably had about 75 people or so at the breakfast. And we had, as our speaker then this morning, Greg Wilson. And of course, Nonnie Darnell was there, along with Mike Wilson, his brother, and Mike's couple of children. It was just really nice. And he had the little memento he gave everyone, which was an early picture of Mark and Nonnie that she had signed for everybody. So he played the bingo, and of course, at the bingo game, everybody wins. So yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so that was a lot of fun. And then we, after that, came down and enjoyed another great lecture.
Well, before that, there were two more talks, I did one of the talks. They asked me to talk competition, and opposite me was Rodney James Piper. Who talked about Magic Venues, which Rodney is the ownering majordomo of the House of Illusion in Salou, Spain, which is a great, great magic facility.
I didn't know he was in charge of that.
Yeah, it's his. I was really ticked because I really wanted to see that talk. And Rodney said, well, I want to see your talk. So he said, well, maybe we'll each do half a talk. We ended up not doing it. But you know, I spoke in competition. I figured, I have a half a dozen people. The room was pretty much filled. I probably had like 70 people there.
There's a lot of interest in that, what you're doing.
Yeah.
I was talking to Eric Tate yesterday as far as he was involved.
Mentorship. Yep. Yeah. This is a whole new initiative we've started to try to, help,
American.
Help. Yeah, really give a support system to the American competitors, help them improve their work, and provide not only mentorship and coaching, but also consultants to work with them on various aspects, you know, like music and lighting and sound and things like that. So we're getting that kicked off this year to help those competitors. And it's all of the FISM NA organizations each have a representative to the board. It's a separate organization, though. It is actually a legal LLC. So, we're trying to, get, 501c3 charitable foundation designation so that people will be able to contribute to the cause tax free, and help the American competitors and help them build a real team. We're really trying to take the Olympics approach to this.
Yes. Like that. And then we had, Eric Chen.
Eric Chen. Wow, what a great lecture that was. Holy cow.
Yeah, I learned some stuff. I was thinking this is going to be impossible. And he was showing some, not just black art stuff, but coin work and card work. And it was within the abilities, I should say, of, I think, most everybody. A little bit of practice. A lot of practice.
Yeah. And Eric taught the stuff really well. He's a wonderful presenter.
He was a good teacher.
Yeah. And so far today, we're about to go into the Shoma's lecture. Maybe he'll teach us some of the stuff he did.
Followed by the stage contest.
Right. The FISM NA.
So we'll be having to make copious notes over there.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be reviewing all that. And then we've got the banquet and the...
Before that, we're going to be having then a panel discussion. This is going to be hosted by Stan Allen. We're going to talk about exposure and magic and not being a jerk on the internet. And I'm on the panel.
Oh, so it's talking about exposure and magic. Okay, because I heard don't be a jerk on the internet.
Yeah.
And I'm
trying to minimize exposure part of it because I've been taking enough heat on this.
I can't imagine why. Yeah, that should be an interesting panel discussion. I'll have to pop in for that.
I'm gonna keep this positive.
Yes. Yes, be positive.
Leading up to to this presentation, those of us who are on the panel, Stan's been talking with us about how we're going to be making this happen, you know, what we need to be talking about. And anyhow, it's going to be interesting. I think it'll be fun.
Well, we'll talk about it in the aftermath.
Talk about the be positive. That's a funny joke. You want to say that?
The, you know, I don't remember the whole setup of the thing, but the punchline was used continuously. Something about a guy who, a guy went to the hospital. He was giving a horrible diagnosis, had to get a full blood transfusion. And his wife said, oh, he's just has this uplifting attitude to this. And the guys in the background, you know, because they're trying to blood type, and he's screaming, be positive, be positive.
Because they were giving him the wrong kind of
blood
to begin with. Right. So he was trying to correct him. And he said, even when he was going down, that's right.
Be positive. Be positive.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that's Mark D'Souza. More from you later, man. This is Scotty out. As we got a little bit of time right now, and we're kind of between lectures, and actually I think there's another lecture going on then right now with Shoma, but that's why it's a little bit quiet here in the lobby right now. I was wanting to speak with someone who had lectured earlier this morning that I didn't get a chance to see because I was involved with the breakfast meeting that we had, and that's Rodney James. Hi there, Rodney. How are you?
How doing, Scott? How are you?
Nothing less than fantastic. It's always good to see you.
I actually referenced you slightly in my lecture. There's a fact.
Oh, I should have been there.
there's a fact. Well, my lecture was about 20 points to make your dream come true.
Okay.
For those who don't know me, I run and own House of Illusion. We've been going for about 25 years, and I spoke about 20 different things that you can put into process to make your dream come true. And then did what I called the after show and explained and spoke about a few tricks. Mm-hmm. I did a watch trick, and I actually mentioned that it was based on a book that you published, pamphlet PK Times.
Times, sure.
Yeah, and I actually spoke about that in the lecture at the end. So I gave you a little mention.
And Manicure. Yeah, very great.
Yeah. A long, long time ago.
That was our first big publication, I guess. So the first thing that Manicek and I put out was Radio Magic, and that was on a cassette tape, and that did very well. And then we put out Psychokinetic Touches, and also Pre-Thoughts, which was a complete act of his, both spiral bound. Yeah. But the first, quote, real book that we really marketed was A Psychokinetic Time, which is a staple bound book. Funny thing was that didn't really take off at all.
Good. Keep it on the ground.
We sold, I'll bet you, 12 in 1 year, or maybe 10 the next year. And then what happened was there was a trade show guy who was performing it, and other magicians who go to the trade show saw this and say, hey, whose is that? What is that? And then once they started, the buzz got out, we were selling thousands of books, you know.
So I've done a version. I've spoke to Banachek Steve about that a few times. He was in Spain once touring, and we spoke about the version I do. And it's very, very similar, but I've got a couple of different versions at the end. And it's just perfect. It's clean as can be.
It really is a borrowed watch, you know, which they name a time. And
it's a trick that can't be explained, done with a watch.
That's a very good way of putting it. It's because the person names a time. They're holding their watch.
And that's why I say it. I mean, it literally is the trick that can't be explained. Because there is a million different methods with it, a million different ways to present it and go with it. And I think that concept is really, really enjoyable. So I touched on that at the end.
Again, that's called Psychokinetic Time.
Yeah.
And then also I've got one with you, Harry Merlin
Piper.
My mind just went blank there. Sorry, Harry.
How are you doing? Good?
I'm fantastic, and congratulations then as well, because you were voted as the Young Magician of the Year for the Magic Circle. Is that right?
Yeah, yes, I was.
Was that for this year or last year? Or
2 months ago it was.
Oh, just recently, okay.
Yeah, just recently.
That is very fresh. Then the congratulations are
well
in order.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Well, you were surprised, or you thought, oh, no, I'm going to nail this?
I never thought I'm going to nail it. It was a very good competition. It was all type of different varieties, it weren't an obvious who was going to win. It was actually, there was a lot of different acts, and then I was so lucky and happy to go home with the gold, with the prize.
Yeah, wow.
So what's interesting with that, tell them the story about why you did the competition, how it came about.
So the thing that happened is that I got caught at school doing one of the hardest card moves in the world and got put in detention for doing it. So
really?
My teacher said she didn't want magic in the school and blah blah whatever.
This wasn't Hogwarts.
So. No. And then so off of that, when I was in detention, I actually wrote down a whole act about magic and like not being able to do it in school. And with that act, I was able to go to the Magic Circle Your Magician of the Year final, where I was able to win the prize and go home with the gold.
So you went back to your teacher and say, take that.
Yeah.
quite literally. Walked in the class with a trophy and put it on the desk.
So you may not appreciate it, but they do.
Yeah, it was a good journey. It was a really good journey.
What is your intent for your long-term plan then? I mean, you're how old now? 14?
13.
Okay. Now let me guess how much you weigh. No, yes, your age gets your weight. Well, state fair is coming up soon in Texas, so we have that kind of thing. Anyhow, so what is your plan? I mean, are you going to be going on then to university and studying what?
So right now, so a good question that is actually.
Why, thank you.
So the thing that I'll probably do is I'll probably not go to university. I'll probably go to somewhere where I'll learn stuff, maybe about theatre, maybe about lighting and perform a lot in the theatre. It'll be good. A good thing to know, like how to fix light and all that. Things to know that it'd be good when I perform to know.
Right, right. Well, I wish you luck on that because I think a lot of college and university is not for everybody because you could be successful. I
didn't go to university. I went to the Brit School, which is a performing arts school, the same school as Adele, Amy Winehouse, and it was a performing arts school. And I went there when I was younger, but when I was 16, I went and started performing.
Yeah.
And Harry's really lucky because he's got a school really outside his school. We own the House of Illusion in Toulouse, Spain, so we've got our own theatre. We have two shows a night, six days a week, about 200 people per show. So we do about 50,000 people over the season. Mm-hmm. And Harry's been born there. He lives there. So he's been, and we have all the top magicians come and perform for us. Well, I say all of them, but we've not. Scott's not
been.
That's what I'm saying. Scott's not been yet.
Very much.
But we have lots of shows. I mean, for example, Artem, who's here at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he spent 2 months with us before we went to FISM. So we have lots of people come and work and spend time with us.
Well, his is an act that can play any place because he doesn't speak. Because this is in Spain, does it have to be in Spanish or they have interpreters?
No, so this is the weird thing. We're in Spain. Our audience is... are 95% British and Irish.
Really?
So where we are in Salou is a big holiday vacation area.
Is it a seaside town, kind of like Blackpool?
Yeah, like Blackpool, but not like Blackpool.
Well, what I meant on the beach.
Yeah, on the beach. But the beach,
that's the only similarity.
Yeah, but the beach is very different. It's a nice, beautiful beach.
Beautiful beach, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and there's beaches, there's theme parks, there's resort hotels, mm-hmm. And House of Illusion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're there. We're right on the beach.
You sell a magic over there as well? I mean, like a magic shop, like a gift shop or something?
We have some souvenir shop. We have magic tricks, but I actually say we've got stuff that you can do as a fun magic, but it's not the real magic that we do in the show. Because I want people to have that believability and not think they can just purchase something.
Do people pop over on a ferry or do they go through the channel?
Planes.
What?
Two and a half hour flight.
Oh, really? Okay.
And 10 minutes from our House of Illusion is the airport. Mm-hmm. So it's loads of package holidays. In the UK, and it's not something you have really here in the States, but a lot of people have a family holiday, but it's a package. They go to a tour operator and the tour operator will put the hotel, the flight.
Right.
And all as one package.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they will book that and pay, I don't know, £500 per person. And that would include everything. There's also some all-inclusive hotels. So they get the drinks are included and stuff. Like you'd have in the Caribbean or or Mexico or whatever like that.
Right.
That type of thing, but on the Spanish coast. And British and Irish people literally fill our town.
Yeah.
I'm on about hundreds of thousands of them every week.
And you have then obviously a proper stage because you were talking about Artum.
We have 3 or 4 venues that we own out there as well. So we have 100 performers working for my company.
Mm-hmm.
So our stage is a big, big stage, LED screens, full DMX,
wow,
8 movers. It's all seated.
How many seats?
About 200.
Okay.
It's cabaret style, so it's all round tables. People come for a dinner. Drinks.
Oh,
so when they pay to come in, it's one room. You have your dinner, your drinks, and the show all included. Once you're inside, you don't pay for anything else.
Yeah.
it's what I call worry-free.
Are you able to get away? I mean, you obviously are here now.
Yeah, I'm lucky. I've got a great team of magicians. I've got about 10 magicians who work for me.
Mm-hmm.
I always have a head magician, so when I'm not there, they can cover the show. We've got Matt Edwards there at the moment, who's a fantastic magician. He's probably one of my favourite magicians. We had Taylor Morgan. These are UK names you probably don't know now, but I'm sure you will know very shortly. They're brilliant. I mean, but we've had some of the top British magicians started off at House of Illusion. People have gone on and won FISM Awards, started off at House of Illusion.
How long has that been in operation?
So it's about 25 years now.
I didn't know it was that long. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we're at our third House of Illusion. The first House of Illusion started off, and I'll be honest with you, it was a complete disaster. I lost about 50,000 euros that I didn't have.
Okay.
Only 35 seats. And what the issue we had was, and it was only when I realized, the word magic in the marketing. At the time, it was pre-Blaine. And I think historically in magic, there's a post and pre-Blaine moment where magic changed from being uncool to call to the UK audiences.
Why? What? Made that change, you think, Darren Brown?
Darren came just after. They come, but they was after. But I think Magician was seen as like a birthday party magician, just doing the colouring book, doing a
dollar. Weddings?
Which is nothing was wrong. Oh, at the time, think I'm going back 25 years. Hmm. Yeah? And it wasn't there. It was kids' parties, and it was Paul Daniels. That was what was seen, and it wasn't called. Yeah,
David Nixon.
But it was post-Daniels, but not, I mean, Paul Daniels, I love. He did my wedding. He came and performed at my wedding, which was an incredible memory. And then afterwards, we at the time, you put magic, and people go, oh, they're expecting a clown. They're expecting that type of vibe.
Right.
So when we changed it, we took out the title, and it happened overnight. We literally took magic out, and we always called House of Illusion. We used to call it Magic Show. We put Mystery, Night of Wonder, Illusions, Deception, all them type of words. Started selling out overnight.
That is amazing.
And I do think we have to be aware of our brand, what our brand is and who we are, and them little changes make big differences in the mind of the public. And I don't think it's the same now. I think magic's cool now.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
What is it or who is it you think that changed the minds?
I mean,
we could point here in the U.S. to Doug Henning. When he was on television, that changed America and the minds of people appreciating magic. David Copperfield then, had come later and everything, but Doug Henning was, I mean, Mark Wilson was working, but Doug Henning kind of appealed to a younger group and it was hip and everything. But I was wondering.
I think magic in America has been cooler for a longer time.
True. So it's like the 70s.
Yeah. Well, I think Us was probably, what was David playing? Early 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, about right.
Yeah, 93, I think.
Wow. See, that old? I guess that could be right.
The original Street Magic one, I think 93. There's my guess. We'll fact check that afterwards. I think that was a real pivotal moment. I mean, the Blaine Show was on TV. It wasn't just Blaine, but afterwards,
and it was made in the UK too.
Darren Brown. Yeah. But I think it made a big mind change. Then you had Darren Brown, so all of that mind control became very big. I mean, of course, Copperfield was on. I mean, I'm Copperfield's number one fan.
Yeah.
And it was on as specials on Christmas and stuff like that, the Copperfield specials, which were good. But it was still seen, when we tried to sell our show, it was still seen as not cool. Hmm. And then, I mean, now magic is more popular than ever. Every wedding in the UK has a magician.
Right.
In Spain, magic is seen differently. It's very different how you travel. I mean, magic in Spain is seen very, very differently. I mean, Tamar is God. Is God.
His school is amazing. The escuela that he teaches, and the brand of
Tamariz.
Juan Tamariz. From the standpoint of the frenetic energy that Spanish card magicians
have. Card magicians come in. But there's a new movement there as well now. There's like the hippie movement. You've got Mario Lopez and Juan Carlos and all that. That's the new sort of generation. You've got one's group with Danny, and then you've got the hippie movement. I mean, everyone still bows down to the temple of Señor Tamariz, who is something very special.
So if people want to find out more information, they're going to be traveling over there. What's the website or how can they
get more? If you go to houseofillusion.com, you can find out, or check us out on Instagram, House of Illusion Salou, or the Harry Merlin Piper or Rodney Jones Piper. We're open.
Wait, say it again.
My Instagram's the Harry Merlin Piper, and my dad, I'm joking. My dad's Rodney James Piper / follow home.
Yeah, that's what you want to. But if anyone, I always say, if magicians are coming, drop me a message.
Okay.
Find me on socials, drop me a message, and I will look after you. Yeah, our ticket prices can be expensive. They're not as expensive as the wine in the hotel where we're staying at the moment. My God, I couldn't believe it.
Everything's kind of high.
$20 by the time you pay a tip. I could buy a vineyard in Spain for that.
$10 beer would be pretty expensive pretty quick.
It's gone up. The last time I was back in America about 3 or 4 years ago, and what a change in the cost of everything.
Yeah, it depends where you are.
Is it really,
I think so too. Yeah. But it is a nice hotel.
Oh, it's a lovely hotel.
Yeah, lovely hotel. Well, listen, Rodney, I appreciate it. Harry, thank you guys very much.
Thank you very much.
I hope you're enjoying the convention.
Having a great time. We love the USA. Do you know what? There's three things I love about America.
Tell me.
Three things. The food.
Mm-hmm.
Barbecue is brilliant.
You're in the right place. Yeah.
The weather has been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly is the people.
Mm-hmm.
The American people are friendly, are loving, are welcoming. And whenever we come, we feel like home. And they always say the British and the Americans, we stand together shoulder by shoulder.
Right.
We're cousins, aren't we?
Oh, I agree. Man, you're warming my heart. So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Harry and Rodney. Scotty out. I ran into someone last evening, thanks to her son, who said, "Hey, you need to talk to my mom." And I thought, well, sure I do. And the reason is because she was the past editor of Magic Manuscript, which was one of the Tannens, and she was formerly married then to Tony Spina. And it's Jennifer Webb. Hey there, Jennifer. How are you?
Hey there.
So glad that you're here. Have you been to the TOM or to the SAM convention here before?
I have not, and this is incredibly fun.
So why did you decide to come to this one?
Because it had all kinds of different perspectives that I wanted to see. The close-up, the FISM contest. My son lives close by. We both adore magic, and I thought it was an extraordinary opportunity to see some new magic, to have a lot of fun.
And has it fulfilled your expectation?
About 125% so far. It's now amazing, just amazing.
You have seen a lot of magic in your years.
Yes.
And you said to me last evening, we were chatting briefly, that you had been involved also, of course, with Tannen's Jubilees that they used to have at Kuchner's, I guess, and all that too.
Yep, Kuchner's, Brown's before that. It was such an iconic thing years and years ago. Mm-hmm. From about 1980 on, I would go to Tannen's Jubilee, and they would have up to 1,700 people. David Copperfield had a whole evening show there once. Tony once said that he was the only magician that he would give a whole evening show to.
Wow.
Loads of fun, incredible close-up. I had the privilege to watch so many people. Slidini, many, many years ago. Frank Garcia. Michael, help me out. There were so many incredible.
Harry Lorraine.
You know, I was very fortunate to be around all kinds of amazing magicians. I didn't even know it at the time.
At the time, until later, you kind of look back and you look at the volume of people and who they were, you know.
Yeah, such talent.
You had a lot of those, I'm sure, in the magazine as well, who you had featured. In a Magic Manuscript that ran for how many years?
I don't know. I should know, but I don't know. Okay. A lot of years. I had it for a lot of years.
Well, it was originally intended, I assume, as kind of a house organ for Tannens. Is that right? Or how was it?
Tony actually bought it. I can't remember the last name of the gentleman who had it before, but Tony had a perspective that he could take it, he could turn it into something, not just a house organ, but would always feature someone that was popular, unique, creative at the time, and then just have a variety of other things, advice, columns, etc. So that's, and then he was the first person to have a full color magazine back then. IBM, Genie, I don't think had at that time. So we were proud of that factor. And then we just had a lot of fun with some of the people. My favorite was Orson Welles. That we had Doug Henning. I remember going to a theater where he was performing. He was very patient, gave me a lovely interview, shared a Sprout sandwich with me. Dick Cavett. There was a Siegfried and Roy. I had a blast interviewing them. I got to watch. I went to their home for a day, watched them throw logs to their tigers in the swimming pool.
Huh.
Magic Castle did an article on them, and I got on the famous stool that goes down to the ground. It was late. I was in New York time. I was drinking some wine, and I remember at the time turning around, and everybody is laughing at me, and I'm way down here.
You're looking up at everybody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it slowly goes down. You don't realize it's going down until you're there.
And I'm busy talking and so on. Yep.
And as you're having something to drink, then it's kind of like, what's going on here?
And I'm a New York time, you know, and it's out in L.A., so.
Now, when you talk to Orson Welles, my Uncle Orson, no, we're not related. By last name, Welles. He spells it differently. What was it that made that outstanding? Just because of who he was, or what was it about?
Everything. I was so impressed with the talent of the man. We had to fight a long time to get the interview. Then he kept me waiting at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel for a couple of hours. I couldn't do anything. It was pre-cell phone. And then finally, his person said, come now. Went in this room. There was a room all by himself. His chair was diagonally in the corner with a desk behind it. And it was all set up to, you know, yes, sir, Mr. Welles. And then he gave me about half an hour interview, and I wanted more. And I asked about bullfighting. And that gave me additional time. And then finally he stood up and he dismissed me. But I started the interview with, is it true, Mr. Welles, that a rabbit once urinated in your pocket 22 times while you were waiting to perform with Judy Garland? And he laughed and he said, no, 28. And so that's how.
Wow.
Because I wanted to impress him, not like, well, sir, you know, what's your favorite thing you've done? So I did a lot of research before you know.
Did you record that or were you just jotting down on paper or what?
Recorded it. Always okay. Recorded it because I didn't trust my memory. So, yeah. And I still got that recording, which is pretty
cool. Wow. I assume then you have recordings of all these other people like Sly Dean and others whom you talk with and Zig and Roy or no?
Of course not, because I've lost a lot of them.
Because what?
I've lost a lot of them. I'm not smart bad. Enough to keep them.
Well, who knew the value at the time and how important they'd be to history, you know?
Yeah, but I regret that I wasn't smarter in keeping them all. But I did have.
So it was not, Magic Manuscript was not sold to someone else. You ended it, I guess. Is that right or how?
I'm sorry to say, I actually don't know what happened. At some point, I decided that I didn't have the time to run it anymore, and I don't remember who took it over after me.
I was thinking Adam Fletcher was...
Adam started it.
Well, Adam started Fletcher. It, okay.
Yeah, he was the one that Tony bought it from.
Okay, I knew he was involved somehow or another, okay.
Yeah. For a while.
Well, such memories, you know, that you got then also of the magazine. So were you operating that out of your house or do you have an office?
Oh, yeah. No, out of my house. Yeah, I'd be laying it out on the floor at night, you know, the day before in my New York apartment.
That was a monthly subscription magazine, too.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot of good stuff in it, you know.
You recall at the peak of your circulation how many people subscribed?
Scott, you're asking me wonderful questions that I don't have the answer.
That's okay.
No.
I will say, though,
I'm always surprised. My son was talking to somebody earlier. Was it Sean? And Sean said when he, I don't know his last name, a wonderful card.
Sean Farquhar. Sean Farquhar.
Wonderful card magician. And he said to me that when he first started out, the first magazine that a performer gave him was Magic Manuscript. And he said, I read it cover to cover. And I went, wow. So I think we probably did touch a lot of people. You know, I think Frank Garcia had a column in it back then and so on. So hopefully it reached a lot of people, inspired a lot of people, all those good
things. New York and Los Angeles were hubs of magic, certainly.
Yeah.
On the two, and then Chicago in between. But the people who had come through there and had appeared in the magazine and on the cover and everything, it was amazing, I know. And I think you mentioned something about Jeff McBride last evening also, didn't you? That he was involved. I mean, you had him. That's good.
I'm pretty sure I did an article on him because of being around Tannins. There were New York magicians that were always around. So Jeff was one of those guys. So I've known Jeff for a trillion years.
Right.
But I'm positive we did a story. At least I can see the picture on the cover. So I think that was one that we did. Yeah.
Wow. Well, they're letting us in right now for the stage competition. Jennifer, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate the time for the Magic Word Podcast. That was Jennifer Webb. Scotty out. One of the performers for last evening's show that everyone was talking about was a highlight who had gotten a standing ovation, the Champagne. I've got it with me now. Hi, Champagne.
Hello.
How are you enjoying Magic Texas?
I'm so happy because it's, first of all, city. I love city.
Yeah.
This city so much.
Have you tried the barbecue?
Yes, of course. Of
and?
Course.
You like
and
it?
Then nachos, of course.
And what?
Nachos.
The nachos,
of
yes.
Of course, yeah. And also today,
yes.
I finally got Texas steak.
Texas steak.
Yeah. Okay. Texas beef, I mean.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah. Porterhouse.
It's different than Japanese.
Very different.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we have the good beef.
Well, yes,
we
you do.
Proud of that.
Yeah.
But completely different category. It's so lovely.
Yeah.
Meat in Texas. But also people. It's so friendly. Yes.
I was about to ask you, I'm sure you've noticed what they call Southern hospitality, where everybody is so friendly here.
Yes. I love this city and also this convention.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so good.
Well, I know I see you at the 4F convention, of course, you know,
each year, and then
the last year when you were at Abbott's Get Together, and just to highlight, you brought some of your friends over as well, like you did here this year.
Uh-huh.
We're so glad that you guys all came together. You really made a great show.
Everybody's so happy. I'm so happy for the kind word. You're so kind. But I think it's because of our audience. Yeah, audience is lovely. So that's why, we got that kind of show, but. Yeah.
But I think that
just because of audience,
it shows the level of a difference, I should say, of what American magic is like versus what Asian magic is like and European magic. It's a little bit different level and different type of creativity and different things that they're doing.
Uh-huh.
Even though you're doing card magic, other guys are doing card magic, but what you're doing is different. And
I understand. Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Thanks so much. It is kind of best word for me. Thank you.
And you are a classically trained pianist. Is that right, too?
Oh, no, violin.
Violin.
I used to play the violin.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I quit, but yeah, I used to.
And so you don't play anymore?
Unfortunately.
Did you play in the symphony or just for yourself?
I used to, with performance, you mean?
Played like in the Philharmonic or the symphony or?
Yes. Chamber orchestra, not full orchestra, but like 10 strings or like 5 strings. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
That kind of show.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
And not so much anymore, though. Not so much anymore that you don't perform.
You mean I play or perform with them? What do you mean?
I mean the violin. Do you?
I don't play the violin so much. Just secretly.
Okay. Just figuratively. Okay. And so you play the cards now. The playing cards.
Yeah. Playing cards. Yeah. That is my instrument. Yeah.
That is your instrument.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And your hands are your tools. Yeah. And you're beautiful. Thank you very much, Champagne.
Thank you
I appreciate
so much.
It. Yeah. Okay. You're welcome. Have a champagne. Scotty out. We are on the bus and getting ready to head to the evening show, and we just finished the evening dinner that was pretty darn good, actually, and then it was entertained by Gustavo Reilly, and he was outstanding, and we had just, 600 people or so, I think, in there,
yeah.
And it was an exchange of power also from one president to the next for both the TAOM and the SAM, plus some other awards and things that were given away. It was just a very fun and social evening with lots of photos, lots of smiles, and I'm here right now then with who was a guest of the, says this is not an IBM convention. It seems like everybody else is here, and here he is. This is Michael Dunnigan, who is the current president, international president of the IBM. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm fantastic. So good to talk with you. Last time we talked, I think we were promoting the
convention
in Tacoma.
IBM convention. We were doing a 30-second spot, and I think I talked for 3.5 minutes.
But it was very good, very engaging. So tell me how the convention went in Tacoma.
For Tacoma? It was a great experience.
I've heard nothing but good reports on it.
Really? Yeah. Well, I'm always happy to hear that.
Yeah.
And neither have I, but not... People don't complain to me.
Well,
or maybe they complain
they should,
more. I don't know.
More.
No, you're right. No, you know what? It really was a fantastic convention. We were excited about having it in Tacoma because it's the first time we've been on the West Coast in quite a few years.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some trepidation in that, too. It's a long way away for a large percentage of the population that tends to, the IBM population that tends to come to our conventions. It was a good haul. But the people we picked up from the West Coast, from Canada, from that whole geographic region were just so excited to be there at an event that so often they don't get to go to. So it was a lot of fun. It really was.
That's probably pretty true because I know that the IBM will move from different parts of the country, from east to west, to central, to south, to north. And so that way, not everybody who can travel outside their region, it gives an opportunity to have some people who have never been to a convention to give them an idea, saying, oh, this is pretty good. I'm going to travel next year to wherever it's going to be.
Well, we certainly hope so.
And so next year is going to be in Houston, which
will be
pretty centrally located. That's an international city. I think it's the number three, third largest city in the country.
And one of, if not the, certainly, again, in the top three convention cities in the country, right?
Yeah. And so as president, what are some of your initiatives? What are you hoping to accomplish this year?
All right. It's going to be another one of those 30-minute answers. So,
we got a little ride here.
Yeah, that's right. We've got some fun. You know, I'm really excited about this year. One of the great things about, and we're not the only ones that do it, but one of the nice things about the way our approach to leadership and within the organization works is it's called moving up the chairs.
Yes.
So typically someone who's been a member at large or a part of an executive committee sort of situation will start stepping up to a greater office and then to the next office and the other. And so the IBM president really by bylaw can only serve one term, which is really challenging.
It is. You nearly need to have two terms, in my opinion, at least.
No, two terms.
Okay.
It is one term and one term.
I know it is, but I'm saying I think it should be longer because you're just getting into it and you're getting the hang of it and you know what to do and how to get it done.
And that is absolutely the truth, particularly.
That's why we have 4 years for our president.
That's right. And probably not a conversation to get into. No, but you're right. There's logic on both sides of the coin. On the one hand, it means that there is constantly constant turnover, new blood,
that's true.
New ideas.
That's a good thing.
People coming in with different perspectives and different concepts of where the IBM needs to go. The flip side is it can, if you're not careful, create a lot of one and done scenarios.
That's true.
And you know, a president.
And that's happened.
It has happened. And that's counterproductive to progress.
They just disappear.
Yeah. Well, and not only do they disappear, but unfortunately, so often their initiatives do as well.
And they go with them.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Or if not during the same meeting, sometime soon thereafter.
Yeah.
So what I have really focused on this year and what I think will be, which is not unusual, it's the way I think it used to be, is to make sure we use our chair system and make sure that we use our leadership group as a well-oiled, group that communicates with each other effectively and are all working towards the same goals and results. You know, we have a strategic plan in place that I developed with the officers and the administration that I knew would be part of my group, started working with them almost a year ago on building that out so that when the ascension did happen, when I did take the chain from Chuck and become president, it wasn't my first day on the job, so to speak. My first official day, yes. But we had been beginning the process of working towards the main goals and objectives we put in place in the plan over the prior 3 months. So that by the time we officially kicked off my presidential year, we already have had a handful of initiatives that are close to fruition or have already come to fruition, including today's announcement that we'll be hosting the FISM 2027 North American Championships as their partner in that. So to me, the key is you can't start the day you start. Because if you do, you're going to have 3 months of figuring out what it is you need to do.
That's a waste of time.
Exactly. 6 months of being able to get something done and 3 months of being a lame duck.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a cohesive approach, not just my initiatives, but the entire board of directors and board's initiatives.
So you can pass it on from one to the next.
So that the next group transition comes in.
Yeah.
And there will be tweaks, as there should be. There'll be some evolution in thinking because there'll be some new challenges that we'll need to face. But it gives us that continuity of leadership. That means we can address some of the more complex issues that we and almost every other organization like us faces in today's world.
Well, it sounds like you've got your work cut out for you, certainly, but you've also got a head start on it as well. So.
I think so. And more importantly, we've got a destination that we all agree on.
Right, right.
And I think as long as a leadership group, we're all working in that direction, all work is progressive work and positive work towards the ends we want to achieve.
And so when you're saying you're going to be doing a joint FISM convention with the IBM, like we have done here this year.
Exactly.
With the North American Championships, has there been a hosting city identified yet?
There has. This is where I start getting a little coy. Call me back in about 5 days. We do have a destination and a specific venue in mind.
Can you tell me what part of the country it's in?
It's in the United States.
Okay.
Yeah, does that help?
No.
No, okay. So I think it'll be a destination. I just have to be a little bit coy because obviously the paperwork's not done.
I'm not putting you on the spot.
No.
Yes, I am actually. But,
well, yeah, but that's your job. My job's to go, who? What, me?
Yeah. But that's going to be exciting. But it's not going to be, again, a joint convention. It'll just be an IBM with the NACM.
Exactly. It is. We're hosting the FISM North American Championship competition.
And you think there will be a joint IBM and SAM convention in the future?
You know, I'd like to see it. We're too small of an industry to ever feel like we, across all of the organizations, are ever competitors. I'm a big believer that the rising tide raises all ships, right? Our job universally, whether it's the SAM, the IBM, or any other organization, is to grow the art of magic and bring new blood in and help them see what a fantastic hobby, profession, pastime it can be. And if we're all working together to do that, it's to the betterment for all of us.
Oh, I think so too. And because you're really kind of creating a gorilla.
Yeah.
You know, went by putting it I didn't mean to make it sound like otherwise you're just a bunch of monkeys. but you put the monkeys together, become a gorilla.
Yes. Yeah, that must be it. Yes, no, it's true.
It's more odd. Fun than a barrel of monkeys.
Yeah, there you go. It's odd, but it's true. But it is, you know, we do, I think, of all the organizations I know, we share a very common heritage. We share a common membership to a large extent. And we certainly, I think, share a common goal and love of the art and desire to make sure that it not only perseveres for decades,
generations,
but continues to progress.
Well, to kind of wrap up, since we are at the joint convention here right now, what have been your thoughts? What have you enjoyed? What really sticks out as?
Oh, wow. You know, the Magic Texas as a group, and all the organizations involved with it have done such a terrific job of putting this convention on. It's well planned. It's been well executed. It's the venue is absolutely gorgeous. The food's been great. But more than anything, the talent here has just been spectacular. They've put together a great.
Mike Miller's done a great job.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's bringing together a truly international flavor to the performances, as well as the FISM competition itself. Both on the close up and in the stage competition,
and
just really so much talent.
And they announced this evening those who are going forward, and there were two close up and one from stage, I think.
I think that's the way it broke out. Yeah,
that's right. I believe Alex Ramone is going forward to stage.
No surprise.
And then Blaze Sarah is going to be going forward to close up, and also Michael. Last name escapes me. Starts with an M also. He was the guy with the robot arms.
Yes, I call him Mr. Lobster Claws. That's probably not very appropriate, it's such a...
He's competed with the IBM and also the TLM in the past.
Yes,
and I've judged him with the IBM as well.
Yeah.
I thought, he had a great act, and it's just gotten better.
It has gotten better. And
now it's to the point where it's FISM ready.
Yeah, I agree. Well, obviously so. All three of those acts were so deserving.
And they were all good, and that shows you the talent, how difficult it is.
That's right.
To get to FISM.
Not only, and how long they've been working on it fine tune, to improve, probably to tighten dramatically.
Yeah.
But you know, the truth is they were the ones that made it through. But I think the experience for everyone who competed was spectacular because they're going
to
get
all to be applauded.
Such valuable feedback, and they in 2 or 3 years could very easily be, or in 3 years when we're almost said where we were going.
Yes.
But when IBM hosts the FISM, they very well could be back and could be the ones going through that year. Mm-hmm. You never know.
That's right. Well, Mike, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Scott, I appreciate it. It's always fun. You may not feel that way in post-production, but it's always fun to sit down and talk with you.
Well, whenever I'm putting out these convention reports, I don't edit anything. It just goes out raw because I just don't have time. I mean, you could imagine. I would not get any sleep. I'm getting very little sleep right now, but if I actually spent some time editing these things, it would take way too much time because of,
So what you're telling me is you're not going to fix this in post.
I'm not going to fix this.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, no.
It goes out naked and raw the way we are right now, by the way. You look handsome.
Well, I'm at least dressed.
Yeah, at least, yeah. Well, with that metal, the chest. I remember telling Jerry Schnepp when he wore it. It's like, I think he wore that to bed. His wife said he never took it off, you know?
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not, you know, like pinned to me. Every international president I've talked to after they left office have all bemoaned leaving office because they've loved office, but they're all thrilled to get rid of the chain, to pass it on to the next guy, because you don't want to be that person.
Quite literally, that is very heavy. I mean, they always kind of joke about how heavy
it is.
The weight of leadership. But that seriously is.
It is seriously
some metal.
And there's not a TSA agent in the world that likes this at all. So
you're going to have to stop.
I actually pack
it
separately. Absolutely. I check it.
You're not going to carry that.
No, I am not. So, it's a small price to pay.
It is. Thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you, Scott.
I
appreciate it.
You bet. For the Magic Word Podcast, that's Michael Dunnigan. Scotty out. Lastly, you can hear the music playing in the background. We are now at the theater. We've entered, and it's actually 8 o'clock, which is showtime. But because the dinner went on a little bit long, the buses were running, waiting for us to get out because we weren't finished eating.
and they had a show as well by Gustav Rayleigh, which was very entertaining and a lot of fun. And so now I'm in the theater sitting with John Arnoy, who is a producer of Lost in the Shuffle. We had a chance to watch that last evening, and he's kind of been on the road showing that to Magic Conventions. Hello, John. Good to see you.
Good to see you again, actually. Meet you in person for the first time.
That's right. We've talked on the phone a time or two and, yep. and tried to get together for a podcast when you were soliciting funds and under the CrowdFundMe and everything. You were going to
get. Worked out.
Worked out fantastic. Yeah. That's right. Hold on. Just arrived. They were just telling us that we're going to be starting in 10 minutes, so we do have a little bit of time to chat. So I want to talk with you a little bit about the movie itself, because you and Sean Farquhar had put this together. Did you approach Sean or vice versa? Are you friends of his from way back, or how did that relationship begin?
Well, our five-year anniversary is closing in next month. First time I met him, I just went to see his show.
Oh, in Vancouver, yeah.
Yeah, before he had this current theater, Hidden Wonders. He had a small pop-up space.
You're Canadian, aren't you?
Yeah.
I can tell by the accent.
I'm from Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just, I've seen him on TV before, but the theater was like 10 minutes from my house. It was my birthday, and I just happened to see the tickets were for sale. And went and had a great time, and yep. just sent them an email after and said, that was super cool. Can I buy you a beer? I promise not to ask you how you do anything.
Right.
And, yeah, he's a very friendly, approachable guy. And so that led to hanging out a few times. And then one day he pulled out his computer and showed me this PowerPoint that he put together about the court card conspiracy, as he called it.
Right.
And that became the basis of the whole film, this idea that this murder mystery, the clues to this 500-year-old murder could be hidden under very everyday objects. You know, in some of the most common art everyone in the world's ever seen, I thought it was a pretty interesting hook for a film.
Now, you've done other docs, I guess, as well. So, do you specialize in some area of documentary or just whatever seems to interest you?
The last feature documentary I made was about the social media and the Vancouver Winter Olympics in 2010.
Okay.
So, a completely different topic.
Yeah. What was your first entrance into magic then, really? A deep dive, too.
Yeah, that's one cool thing about making movies is that you get to sort of immerse yourself in you have an excuse to immerse yourself in the world for a while and spend a lot of time doing research about medieval French history that otherwise, you know, wouldn't have any purpose. my previous feature I produced was about stand-up comedy. It's another art form I'm a big fan of. I'm never going to be up on stage for doing it, but by kind of being in the world, you get to sort of immerse yourself and you have an excuse to kind of...
Was your education in radio and television as far as your university training?
Film. But most of the education ends up being on set. Worked for 10 years as a camera assistant. So I was the guy that did the slate before the shot.
Yeah.
So you learn a lot more from professionals who know what they're doing than other amateurs in school.
Right.
Vancouver Film School was good for getting me out of Toronto.
And what was it that was like a seminal moment when you knew this is going to make it, this is going to be a successful film? I mean, like when you're shooting, you know, afterwards, like, oh, that was good.
Well, I mean, we haven't released yet. I mean, we've gotten very warm reception everywhere we've gone. Whether it would be a commercial success remains to be seen. But I think the first indication that there was definitely interest in the magic community was the first day of our crowdfunding campaign.
Yeah. What I'm talking about is when you were actually behind the lens, looking through there, or you're sitting there and you're talking to Tamariz or Michael Vincent or, you know, Alexander Duvivier, whomever, and at some point you're going to say, oh, this is really good stuff.
In that case, yeah, maybe our interview with Michael. And that was actually
Michael Vincent
on our first day. Just because, I mean, and there's so much more interview that we did with him that doesn't actually,
you know, space for the film. On the cutting room floor there.
Yeah, but just the depth of his thought and his feeling and expression, and he talks about triumph as a routine, because each of the magicians that we profile shares their favorite plot with Sean.
Yeah.
And then in the process of our filming, he actually created a new routine based on those plots. And the way he talks about triumph, and chaos versus order being the underpinning of all card magic, and how this one routine saved his life. It's like, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
That is a profound statement for something a lot of people would look on as being fairly trivial.
Very scintillating, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think from non-magicians who have seen the film, I think he's, like, what he's talked about is definitely probably, not that other people would deny, or not fascinating people in themselves, but resonates and like really kind of opens people's eyes to what lies behind these artists.
I thought that was interesting also whenever you had asked the question of each of the
people, the four people who were featured in there, if they knew what the story was behind the cards. And everybody said, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that to me is really interesting that you can see this tool. Yeah. It becomes a tool, and you just look at it so much you don't see it anymore.
So was the mystery solved before you went and talked to these people then? Because then later you told them, you know, what the story is about, and then because it's like, oh, now I understand.
So, well, yeah.
Did you have to go back a second time? And
you know, we didn't tell them anything like when we were coming. We just said we're making a movie about card magic. Prepare your favorite plot. But we didn't tell them anything about the murder mystery. And a friend of mine, after I watched the film, said he thought it was really kind of interesting that Michael talks about earlier on that when he decided to start studying magic as a child, he gave up, you know, the ability to, the right to have any awe or wonder because he was going to learn so much.
Right.
But then at the end, when you see his reaction to Sean, you know, laying out this theory, and he goes, oh, you're the Queen of Spins, cuts me face, couple of tending hearts, that my friend thought he saw, you know, that little glimmer of like childhood, like, wow, there's something that I haven't seen here before.
Right.
And so I thought that was a really nice idea.
Now, also, you talk about the plot. You told them in advance, everybody, think about what your favorite plot is.
But don't tell Sean.
But don't tell Sean. And my point or question would be, was that part of the, I assume, the original outline? I mean, you knew where you wanted to go with the film. And so that was one of the things you wanted to, you had these four people selected that you wanted to find out.
Yeah, I wanted.
Because they're known as being card people.
Absolutely. So it was about their passion, but also I wanted to show something of the creative process. I didn't want to reveal secrets, but I wanted to pull this kind of curtain back a little bit. So by talking to these various performers about how they learned the plot and what they'd done to adapt it and add their own voice to it, and then seeing Sean add his own layer, because he genuinely learned each plot as we were going. We filmed with Juan less than 24 hours before he had to perform this final routine, and he spent a good chunk of that time driving to get us to that location, so he didn't have a lot of time to do it, and I do appreciate that, you know, he let us keep the part in the film where he messes up. We show him rehearsing and he screws up, and I think that's really great for people to see, because even someone who's excels at what he does at the top of his game can still get nervous about performing and will still screw up, and that's okay. That's just part of the process, and we have to get past it.
The four people who were involved with this, who were main focus, I guess, I assume that Sean had selected them and told you these are who we're going to talk to. And I wonder about what his thought process were about how he decided who he's going to select or who he's not, because there are a lot of good card men. I mean, you know, like Richard Turner would be one, you know.
Well, we do have Richard.
I know, but he was not one necessarily that talked about his plot.
No. Well, yeah, I mean, Richard's a little bit harder because he doesn't really, not a magician the same way the other ones are. We wanted people that represented kind of the different areas where cards come from, so the U.S., France, England, Spain.
Yep.
We, you know, it's a fairly male-dominated industry field, so having Alexandra's voice in there, well, I think, was something that we were keen to have.
Right.
And basically, they're just, yeah, some of his favorite artists, and he said, you know, we'll approach these ones, and if they say no, we'll, you know, talk to other people. But they all said yes.
Yeah. It was beautiful. I love the film. I love the style of it, and I think that you had said because you had funded it within the first 24 hours or so to begin with, or what?
Yeah, the Kickstarter was a good Kickstart. It definitely wasn't enough to fund the film, but the fact that we, within 12 hours, we hit our initial target, we ended up at like 300% of our initial goal, and then some of those backers actually became investors in the film as well, and kind of increased their commitments.
And because of that, you were able to make more specials, go back in and do some more work like animation and stuff.
And just got us on the road and made us, you know, because you want to be able to hire people who do their jobs well, and you need to be able to pay them well. And there was a lot of travel. We went to 10 cities in six different countries. You got to shoot on nice equipment. So everything adds up very quickly. The kind of warmth of the magic community when we were filming in France. There was a strike, and so a flight that we had got canceled, and ended up being a very long drive because we just couldn't fly into France. And so we posted on our social media, and Dr. Matt Thomas of the SAM reached out. I didn't know who he was at the time, never had any contact with him, and he just sent us gas money. And I was like, that's super cool. Can I send anything, like some cards or anything? And it's like, nope, that, you know, I just wanted to share that with you.
Right.
And that kind of warmth that we got right across the board was really incredible.
Well, they're dimming the lights. I could talk more with you, and perhaps we'll have to get together for a full episode, get Sean on the other end of this then as well sometime in the future. If you guys really enjoy hearing more about Lost in the Shuffle, which is available, by the way, on
September 10th. You can start pre-order DVDs and Blu-rays at Walmart and Amazon now, and otherwise you'll be able to download it at home on iTunes or anywhere else you get your movies.
Yep. That was John Ornoy. Scotty out.
Well done.
We just finished the evening show, which was fantastic, and we'll talk about that in more detail later as we start to get together later with Mark D'Souza tomorrow, but looks like it's raining right now. Holy cow, who is expecting rain? Well, anyhow, one of the people last night, just stand over here for just a minute, who was one of the performers, actually started the show off, is Adrian Kill. He's with me now. Hey, Adrian.
Yes.
That is good to see you here.
Yeah, thank you. Like, it was a wonderful show tonight. I was happy to be on stage as well yesterday.
Yes.
And for the first time in USA, it's a pleasure to be with you guys.
And now you're from what country then?
France.
From France. France.
Yes.
Okay. And when you perform in France, where do you perform typically? I mean, in...
Yeah, you know, like the act that you saw yesterday is my like competition act. So I do in France, like gala all over France. You know, we have a lot of town that creates gala show and festival. So
yes,
that's where you're going to see me there. But what I do most is I do cocktail.
Yeah.
Serve cocktail while doing magic in like all type of events.
That's what I was going to ask you. That it looked like the kind of thing you were doing as far as juggling and doing the things with the cocktail shakers and everything like that. Were you a mixologist to begin with, at a bartender, or is
yeah,
that
yeah,
something that you learned?
All my life, that I as a I work as a waiter, as a bartender. I did French gastronomic school when I was 20.
Yes.
Then one day I started to mix magic and catering. I create my own small restaurant in my garage where I was doing. Everything. I was doing the magic waiter, the magic sommelier, the magic bartender.
Yes.
And I create the routine that you saw yesterday.
Right.
I've been to a club and it told me there was a competition act. I didn't know about all this world of magic, you know?
Right.
I was 25 when I understand the world that we've been living in.
Right.
Fees and international competition. We had a French team of magic. I didn't know about it. It's crazy.
And so did you talk with some other French people like Norbert Ferré and others who would encourage you then?
I meet the French team of magic and I started working with them. And in a couple of years, I become French champion of magic.
Yeah.
And I never had a contract as a magician before. So it was quite funny, you know.
So you competed in FISM?
I did FISM 2018 in Korea in Parlor Magic. I didn't do well, but...
With this particular act, but the same.
You know, like it's keep evolving, changing. You know, I work all the time and trying to improve, find new effects. Then I come back to Spain 2021 and I make third prize General Magic. So that was good.
Right. Well, I saw you in Blackpool earlier this year, and so that was fantastic. And then for them to, Mac Miller to have contacted you and brought you back in for this.
Yeah, thanks to him. Thanks to all the organization, because we're having a wonderful time here.
I was about to ask you, so what have you seen or done here? You mean like the barbecue or tried some of the food or?
Like on Friday, like we've been to the baseball match.
Oh, you went to the baseball
game? Yeah, yeah.
Did you go with Artem Shukin? I saw Artem at the game last night.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like we meet some people at the swimming pool to say you have to go. Is there Rangers? They're world champions.
World champion, that's right.
So like it was your opportunity. So
it's right across the street.
Exactly.
How handy is that?
We find some cheap tickets, like and like I never saw a baseball match before. So
first time
in my life.
Wow.
So it was a blast. We've been eating some ribs as well. And I wanted to try the Mécanique Rodeo, but they didn't let me because I didn't have my passports.
You wanted to try the what again?
The Mécanique Bull.
Oh, mechanical bull.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to have a passport or something.
They ask you your ID.
I see.
Yeah.
Because of insurance purposes.
Yeah, exactly. They make you sign everything.
That would have been so fun, I'm sure. Well, that's like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for you, you know, right here in Texas. You're probably not going to have a chance to get back from time to time.
Maybe one day we'll see.
I hope we get to see you then back again.
Yeah.
Then because you've been doing this act for just a short time, and so you got some opportunity then to again.
Yeah, no, for sure. It was the first step in the United States. I hope it would be more.
Right.
I hope to see because, I don't know, you know, I did an exchange student when I was a kid in Cleveland, Ohio, Cleveland. This is where I learned English. So Yeah. USA is in my heart, kind of.
Right. Have you done any television over in France?
Yeah, I did French Got Talent 2022. Okay. I got to the semifinal.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Fun and doing what I love, meaning bartending and magic stuff.
Right. Right.
Pretty good.
I know that the bartenders have contests in which they have, right?
True. There is
have
like
you ever entered in any of that?
I've never been actually to a mixology contest flair tending.
The flair, that's right.
No, I used to do busking in the streets, and I travel all over the world with juggling and magic skill.
Yes.
And but I never did actually like a flair competition. Maybe one day.
Someday.
You know, like just adding a bit of magic at the right time could be game changer. We know.
Yep. Who knows? Well, what about the Moulin Rouge? Have you tried to get into work there? Or
Yeah. Normally, like the act that you saw yesterday, you saw it in Blackpool. I love to do it with fire.
Yes.
And I know Moulin Rouge have a strict policy about fire and
true.
Confetti because, you know, they have a lot of girl dancing
yes,
there.
Right. Yep.
So any powder or confetti on the ground, it's
the crazy
not
horse, the same thing with the
yeah,
crazy
exactly.
horse. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, there is other opportunity. Maybe one day with other acts.
The last couple of years or the last couple of times I've been to the Crazy Horse, I was disappointed, I guess, because I didn't see a magician. I know
yeah,
in the past there have
yeah,
been so
be,
many other magicians
yeah,
who work there.
I don't
yeah.
know. You know, they changed their policy. Maybe they tried to get a new image of the Moulin Rouge. You know, I don't know. I don't know the main organizer at the moment.
I would think Las Vegas would be a place for you. Have you thought about coming to Las Vegas, perhaps, and being in a variety show?
You know, my dad been working in Vegas for a very long time. Mm-hmm. He worked 15 there over there. He was working for the Cirque du Soleil.
Sure.
So I've been a couple
Wait
of times.
Your dad was in the Cirque du Soleil?
He was a diver instructor for the O and the Rev show.
Yep.
You know, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
So you've been over to Vegas then with him?
Not all over, but a couple of times, you know, 10, 17, 21. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Now, how old are you now?
I'm 30. I'm going to be 36. Am I 36?
Still pretty young.
Yeah, since time.
Got a long life yet to go.
I'd be happy to attend to the Magic Vegas, the live. Magic Live, is that?
Magic Live?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's would right. be, That'd be a great place
would
for
Would be
you.
A dream to come back to Vegas with my talent after so many years because you know, I was 10 and I saw my dad took me to Lance Burton at the Monte Carlo, Siegfried and Roy, the Blumen Show.
But those were a few years back.
She was like, it's 25 years ago.
Yeah, 25 years ago. Things have changed.
Yeah, I know. So I have to go back and see.
But they still love magic. There are a lot of magicians.
Yeah, I know. I was happy to see Matt King and Blackpool.
Yep.
That was really good.
Oh, he was really good there as well.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Stan Allen's here at this convention then also, and that he's gotten to see you. So maybe that.
I never meet the guy, so maybe.
Well,
it's an opportunity to.
If I happen to see you both in the same room and we still got another day to go, I'll be sure to introduce you.
Thank you so much.
So maybe something might work out because I'd like to, I would love for him to introduce you then also to the rest of the people there. We have like 1,600 people who register for that convention. It's a fun, fun convention.
Then Vegas is a fun town to be, I hope. So I know about it. I've been there, you know.
That's right.
But I'm more a show guy than a gambler guy.
Right.
Better.
Well, same with me. I'm not so much gambling. I go there for the shows as well. Adrian, thanks very much. It was a real
thank
pleasure
you so
to meet
much
you.
And really,
to chat
you so
with
much.
You. Thank you.
I hope to see you again.
We will for the Magic Word Podcast. That was Adrian Kill.
Thank
Scotty
you.
Out. We just completed this evening's show, and one of the people who was performing, and he lectured earlier today as well, and you heard him on the podcast here some time ago, from Russia. Here he is, Artem Shukin. Hey, Artem.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm fantastic. So good to see you again. And I tell you, first of all, where do you get your music? Was your music custom made? Did you?
Not really. You know, during my lecture, I already explained that usually I catch my music on some stocks. Mm-hmm. And what helps me to find, I just try to find the right image, what I'm doing, what's the relationship between me and the object on stage.
Yeah.
And then I just try to, for example, as I told already, my main fist act, it was image of cat and mouse, because
yes.
I was always trying to catch this white dot.
Ah.
And then I just go to the music stock, cat and mouse. It's give me a big list of variations, and then I just choose different style, jazz, contemporary, modern, like, that's it.
I have to tell you.
I was lucky, I think so.
And I want to tell you, just not because you're your friend, but I've got to say that you're my favorite act. and I don't mean just this weekend. I mean, you, for when I first saw you, I fell in love with your act. I mean, and you're such a likable guy then as well. But I tell you, that is just a wonderful thing. It's solid. Every moment there's magic happening in it. And with the fact you've got a circus background, now that I know that when we had chatted last time, that explains a lot, because most people have a magic background. But with your choreography and dance and theatrical background with circus thrown in there, it just adds so much. And it is a different kind of a twist. And I just absolutely love it. Tonight we saw your comedy side. And I'd never seen that, where you were drug across the stage. And oh, my gosh, that was the funniest thing. That was... You, everybody got a standing ovation tonight. This was just amazing. And I think you've got, I don't know if you noticed, you got two standing ovations.
Wow.
Actually, you left the stage.
I didn't see it. I was just right, toilet paper.
Yes, yes. I thought perhaps that might be the case. But it was just amazing and really enjoyed it. How have you enjoyed the convention? How's this been for you coming to Texas here?
Well, you know, I really enjoy it because it's a lot of friends. First of all, it's a great community, and I always like to be in the United States, and I feel here's just different mood, different people, and I really enjoy to be here.
Yes.
And for the convention, unfortunately, I didn't see nothing. No competition, nothing. So I don't have a chance. Yes. I don't have a chance to enjoy really. Yeah. Because I was preparing for the stress, for the lecture, then the shows, and yeah.
Did it meet your expectations of everything that you wanted to achieve?
You know, the only thing that I would like to, because as for artists, we have a great theater.
Yeah.
Great. Beautiful. Technical team.
AV.
Fantastic. Yeah. The lights, fantastic. It's so comfortable. I feel myself like in a safety hands. You know, that was really great. Big professionals. But I would like to wish that the competitors on stage who compete, mm-hmm. they will have same conditions.
That's true.
Stage, lighting, professional stage hands. So they, you know, because any competition, big competition, and they need to be ready for this one. So I would like to, yes, that's next time. You can provide them, organizers
see,
can...
To see same, other people same. Getting the same kind of audio-visual you got.
Yes. That will be great. Because the young people also need to learn. They need to learn. They need to have this experience.
You're exactly right.
Yes, so that's the only...
The lighting was perfect. I mean, where you're pretending like you're turning on and off the light, you're reaching up like you're pulling off the lampshade. Timing and everything was perfect, the way that they had worked with the audio-visual guys. Yeah. And you're right, that the competition acts... At best, they've got like full lighting and they really haven't run through the thing like you have. You spent a lot of effort on your lighting.
It's, yes,
you know,
that's
which,
right.
Which really accentuates your act perfectly.
And technical conditions was, we have all the beams, all the wash, all the possibilities.
Right.
And I would like to have to for competitors the same. Yeah.
So where do you go from here?
Magic Castle.
Okay, for a week?
Yes, just
for palace?
A week in the palace. Then it will be shooting for Japanese TV. Then it's Gabe Blackstone and
I was going to say Masters of Illusion.
Yeah, Masters of Illusion.
I was about to say, I'm talking to Gay over here. I was wondering if you were on that. Okay, excellent.
Yes.
Because that's the ninth, starts the ninth, I think, starts shooting on that. Yeah.
Yes. Then it's Belgium, my friends, Hugo and Laurent Perron. Mm-hmm. They organize a big festival, the first one. So it's. It should be.
He was a great closer. Oh my gosh. Excuse me. That whole show tonight was, I have to say, the best magic show that I have ever seen of any magic convention. Solid. Every act. I just can't go on and say enough good things. And I'm so glad you're a part of it. And you had two turns in the thing. So you did a great job.
I would like to be today in the audience with you. I would love to be.
Well, my memory of this will be enough for both of us, maybe, because it was so good, and it'll be ingrained and burned in my mind forever. It was great. Thank you for making such good memories for us.
Thanks.
Artem, it's a pleasure. Good luck. Kill them at the castle and also on Masters, and I'll see you. We'll see you on TV, I guess, once that gets broadcasted, too.
Yeah.
Good luck down the
road. Thank
you. For the Magic Word Podcast, as Artem Shukin, Scotty out. Well, we're just kind of hanging out still after the show. And tomorrow, again, we'll talk with Mark D'Souza and kind of do a recap of everything that had happened with the show. But one of the people who was here yesterday and we had, didn't have a chance to chat with is Franz Ferrari. And he had done a Q&A with Gabe Blackstone because they'd worked together, known each other for a long time. And it was great that he came in just for the convention. So here he is right now. Hey, Franz, good to see you.
Hey, I wish your viewers could understand how chaotic this is. We are surrounded. We're in a lobby bar packed with magicians, and decks of cards and alcohol.
What could go wrong?
That's it. Yes. What else does one
there
need?
There are a few non-magicians here, because I've seen some magicians over there blowing away some of the public.
But there's the few non-magicians are all surrounded by magicians showing double lifts.
That's true. Now, what have you thought of the convention? What has been impressive to you? What did you mean, like this evening's show? What do you think of tonight's show?
Well, you know, for me, the I don't get to go to a lot of these conventions.
I know
just
that.
Because of my
lifestyle. That's why I'm
lifestyle.
Here, just hanging out.
Yeah, but what I love most is just hanging with friends. I don't get to do that too much, you know? It's you forget why you're in this business in the first place, and it's all about the community. It's all about this.
Abbott's is the only other one you go to.
That's it, pretty much it. Yeah, I like Blackpool, but it's this screwy, quirky subculture that we're all a part of.
Yeah,
you know, and when you're working, when you're deep in the industry, you forget why you got into it in the first place.
Yeah,
and it's not to have strangers tell you that you're great. It's to be able to hang out with these people, with your friends, with the other people who share your passion, who share your love. And oh, it's just great.
Right. Now, you had contacted Dal Sanders beforehand, said, hey, I just want to kind of hang out. What can I come and do for you? And
that's it. That's
it turned out, hey, about it. What if you had to talk to Gay?
Well, you know, it's I always feel like it's more fun to be in the parade than to be watching the parade. So if I'm going to come, what the hell?
Put
at least
in,
I
coach.
Can. Yeah, give me something to do. You know, that's about it. So yeah, I really don't know what my position here is. I did make the poster, so I'm really proud about that.
You did?
So, yeah.
Okay. I mean, wow. That's kind
for no reason. For no, believe me, for no reason should I be in that poster. But it was really fun talking to Gay and getting a chance to, you know, interview her on stage. Gay and I, boy, I've known her for 50 years, which is a problem because she says she's only 48 years old. So. There's an issue.
She was an infant.
Yes, right. And so I've done a lot with Gay. A couple of years ago, I did an interview with her in a car wash. So I've always looked for ways to kind of mess with her a little bit. So what I ended up doing is for the last couple of questions, I gave her a canvas and some markers. And I said, all right, you got to draw me while I draw you while I'm answering these questions. Just to kind of put her on the spot and get both sides of her brain working.
Right.
My first choice, I didn't do my first choice because it would have cost me $300, and that's just a little more than I was going to spend. Not that Gay's not worth $300, but that was I wanted to hire a masseuse from the hotel to bring one of the masseuse tables out of the chair and drop Gay on top of it and give her a deep tissue massage while she answered questions from the audience.
So funny.
So maybe next time, you know, the it's not over yet, but yeah, that is my continuing adventure with Gay Blackstone.
What you ended up doing was,
well, she painted, she drew me while I drew her, and then they
auctioned her a canvas, and you had a canvas,
exactly,
and then you had multicolored Sharpie,
right? You had a little recap there, yep. So that was fun,
and then we auctioned them off.
You did for a fine cause.
And that's, we brought like $250 for.
That's it. That's it.
For the pair. Great.
Which would have had to pay for the massage otherwise. So, you know.
That's funny. But that was a great idea. I thought, you know, the way that you guys have had a good relationship, I thought one of the funniest things that you had said in that video tribute is when you had said, well, years ago, we were indistinguishable from behind.
Oh, yeah.
You used to have like a mullet and you had.
Oh, yeah. We had exactly the same hairstyle.
Same
fashion sense.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, that was another life, another time to go. Hey, tomorrow I'm doing my little lecture Q&A thing. So if anyone is listening to this, I don't know when this is going to broadcast.
It's going to go out. From here, I'm going to my room to upload.
Great. This. So join me tomorrow at 12:30 in whatever the name of the big room is there. Gail will be there, and you're going to play some videos and basically
kind of a Q&A. What is it? It's like usual thing that you do, like,
yeah,
on Facebook.
That's it. I've been doing this for 100 years. And
well,
aside from illusion design and production, I, you know, sound, light, video, staging, everything, you know, logistics, it's me.
Yeah.
So it's after doing this for so many years, I've developed formulas, and at this point I've got nothing to hide. So I just play video and say, all right, what do you want to know? Bring it on. I've got no secrets, you know, nothing to hide.
When we were in lockdown and you had,
right,
you and John Pullum had amazing show.
Yeah.
I remember that Banachek and I were on your show.
Right.
And I was basically doing a lecture and you were saying, I can't believe you're you're sharing this stuff.
Right, right. I remember. Yeah. For free.
For free. And the reason I was doing that is exactly the same reason that you're doing this now. And that's like, I have nothing else to hide. I would rather share this. I'm at a point in my life where I'm not performing as much anymore.
Right.
I'm looking to going into more of a semi-retirement. I want to share this. If anybody's interested and they want to do it, have at it, you know.
I wish I had a version of me 40 years ago, you know, because it took me a lifetime to figure all this out.
Yeah.
You know, and probably 5% of my life is actually being a magician. The other 95% is logistics. And I mean, right now we're in production for a big show overseas. And it's not all logistics.
It's also about science. And about NASA and about aliens.
Oh, that's right. We started talking about that. What is that? You know, for the first time in human history, it's pretty much accepted that we are not alone in the universe.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to care. They care more about the Kardashians than they do the fact that we are not alone. You know, it's
people are interested in that. You know, you and I did a podcast together.
Of course.
And you said, why are we going to be talking about this? I had so many comments. And yes, I'm interested in knowing more about this. And so I know you're fascinated by
your time. Oh, I follow it like crazy. But you got to be careful who you talk about it, because it's still such a weird fringe subject that if you talk to the wrong people, they think you've lost a nut. So you got to be careful.
So logistics.
Right.
So most of your job is really working on logistics.
I know,
moving a ship from here to there.
And it's logistics and engineering and just production. It's, for example, my team is 38 people, but then when we come into a new, like, I can't say the city yet, but we're getting ready to go to another city in Asia. The local team will be 110 people, including dancers and technicians.
Local, you said?
Local, 110. So it's getting those people, the 110 local people, to work with my team of 38 people and come together as a single cohesive team. It's really like being a jazz band or being a basketball team, because everybody's got to work in sync and understand how everyone else thinks to create this single clockwork machine.
But I know when.
And that project can be daunting. So that's what they're in the middle of right now. So this is sort of my last chance to kind of play around and just be a Goonie magician.
Goonie magician.
That's it.
A Goonie magician.
Hey, you guys should know, while I was doing this interview and while Scott was holding the microphone, he grabbed his cell phone, took a picture of me never missing a beat all while doing the interview. That's so impressive.
So make sure you're welcome. Make sure you go to the magicwordpodcast.com for, no, I don't. Okay. Yeah, don't need change. We just had a couple of martinis over here, which, of course, it's not Thursday, but I love martinis, and we're sharing some magic here. So, yeah, you're right. I wanted to grab this picture over here of you. So go to the magicwordpodcast.com, and there you'll see some photos of people who I've been chatting with during this evening then as well. Franz, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for coming in to Magic Texas also. Hope you had a great time.
Mine. Enjoy the martini.
I have been. Some of the Magic Word Podcast. That's Franz Ferrari. Scotty out. Yeah.